Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up, what's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling Smith
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more. And boy, do we have a whole lot more to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Okay, you need to speed up a little bit.
I'm just looking at you.
Okay.
Yeah, you got looking, a lot to talk
we
about.
We got a lot to talk about today.
I don't know about you.
Well, look, before we get into our show today, we want to first, as always, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune into the show. You can always listen at BashaniRadio.com, or better yet, download the app onto your all of your devices, Bashani Radio app. Get the app. And you can always catch the show. You know what, all the places where podcasts are. You know where to go find it. But we thank you for taking time to listen and share with all your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives. Let everybody know about the show. As always, Sterling and I like to say that we are not licensed therapists.
No, we're not.
Or clinicians. Or anything like that, but we've been married close to 30 years, and we just want to share and talk about some stuff that has happened to us, that we've experienced, that we've survived and thrived and lived through, and we want to show people that it is possible to have a happy, successful, and loving marriage. It's not always going to be perfect.
Just got to communicate.
Hey, but, you know, he didn't say it was going to be a bed of roses, but as we say in our marriage mantra, the more you put in the marriage, your marriage, the more
you'll get out of your marriage.
That you're going to get out of it. So today, let's see what's been going on. The Lakers didn't make the playoffs.
Nope.
Did we talk about that? We haven't talked about that.
Nah, let's just leave that alone.
Okay, let's leave it alone. Okay.
Lakers collapsed, and hey, let's move on.
All right, they didn't make the playoffs. Who do you think is going to take it all this year?
I'll go with Phoenix.
Phoenix Suns. Well, you know what? I would really like to see, that's CP3, right?
Yes, Chris Paul.
Yes, I would like to see Chris Paul win one. He's been in the league for a long time. He came in, you know, along with those guys that came in, LeBron and them and all that around that time. And
LeBron, D-Wade.
Yes, yeah, so I think everybody.
Carmelo Anthony.
Melo doesn't have a ring. He doesn't have a ring, but I'd really like to see CP3 get a ring. So I don't know who I'm going to cheer for just yet. We got to see who's going to make it into the finals. And then I'll decide, you know, which team I'm going to, probably the underdog more than likely, is who I'm going to be pulling for.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The playoffs are all started. They started out with a bang. Things aren't going as predicted, but we're early in. We still got a long way to go.
All right. Well, today I think we have a pretty good show today. We are going to be talking about the midlife crisis. Well, we're going to be talking about how to avoid a midlife crisis. So what is a midlife crisis? So by definition, a midlife crisis is a transition of identity and self-confidence that can occur in middle-aged individuals, typically 45 to 65 years old. I'm 53.
I'm 55. Oh, 50, Lord. I'm 56.
We ain't having no midlife crisis up in here, okay? We ain't having it. We ain't having no midlife crisis.
No midlife crisis.
All right. Let's continue with the definition. I'll read that again. The midlife crisis is a transition of identity and self-confidence that can occur in middle-aged individuals, typically 45 to 65 years old. The phenom is described as a psychological crisis. Dealing with that mind, that thinking, psychological crisis brought about by events that highlight a person's growing age. You're getting older, your mind starts, you know, playing tricks on you and talking to you. It highlights a person's growing age, inevitable mortality, and possibly lack of accomplishments in life. This may produce feelings of intense depression, remorse, and high levels of anxiety, or the desire to achieve youthfulness or make drastic changes to current lifestyle, or feel the wish to change past decisions and events. Studies on midlife crises show that they are less common than popularly believed. I think Hollywood,
blows it out,
television has really hyped up the midlife crisis. So we're seeing here now that the studies say that it is less common than popularly believed. And there was a study that was done by a gentleman, and he did a 75-year longitudinal study on adult development. And he found that midlife crises were rare experiences for people that were involved in the study. So let's talk about this midlife crisis. So people get a certain age, and according to this definition, they start thinking about, I'm getting older now, I'm getting closer to death. I'm getting closer to death. Man, they start looking back, going down memory lane, looking at the things that...
Looking at other people that were in their life that were successful.
Things that they wish they had done, the other people and what they've accomplished, and how, you know, they possibly didn't accomplish certain things in their life.
Or saying, if I would have did this, I could be doing this.
Woulda, coulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
If I shoulda, yeah. And then those things, it creates depression, because then they start...
They dwell on it.
Yeah.
That's all their mind thought goes. Man, my life could be different. I could be doing a whole lot better, or I could be doing this versus that.
Yeah.
And they get stuck in that mode.
Yeah. And it says it can cause depression, remorse, just what you just said, high levels of anxiety. And then they get that desire to
turn back,
achieve youthfulness.
Turn back the clock.
Achieve that youthfulness. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I am fighting age with every natural herb, with every natural seed, with every natural oil, whatever God put out there in the earth to help me maintain my youthfulness.
Babes, you look good. You ain't got to worry
about it. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But, you know, God put plants and herbs and things in the earth to help us to maintain our bodies and to keep our bodies in, you know, good condition and good health. So I think when that's the motive, is just wanting to have a healthy lifestyle.
That's different. That's a healthy lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's not dealing with your mindset and dwelling on it.
Right.
You're just trying to say, hey, I want to look good. I want to stay, I want to preserve my look.
Right, right. Not like a sugar daddy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a sugar daddy. We're going to talk about them sugar daddies and them cougars today. I already know that we're going to get a lot of emails about this show. But, you know, it says that desire to achieve youthfulness. And sometimes you find a lot of old, when men get this age and when women get this age, they want to dress youthful. They want to, you know.
They want to start hanging out.
Hanging out.
Doing all this stuff that young folks do.
Right. And they even, you know, date younger, significantly younger men and women. So it says they make drastic changes to their current lifestyle. Yes. So they change, they go buy sports cars and they start
dressing differently.
Dressing different.
Kind of dress like teenagers.
The muscle shirts. The muscle shirts. They be wearing the muscle shirts, Sterling.
Yeah, they kind of look all swole.
Yeah, with their bellies.
And hanging out.
Okay, we're not making fun of people. We're really not. But I mean, this is real life. We talk about real life stuff here, and
you
so
see it every day.
You see it every day, and so then they have that wish to change past decisions and events, and so you know we want to kind of talk about it today. I'm 53. Sterling's 55.
Six. 56.
And you know, I think when I can honestly say, like, you know, I spent. I've always worked and had a career, but we're a military family. And so, you know, I was kind of limited into what I could do in terms of any dreams and aspirations that I had because you were in the military. We were moving every couple of years and we were here and we were there. And then you retired and I've kind of came into my own of like, there's some things that I wanted to accomplish, some things that I wanted to achieve, but nothing that rose to the level of like regret. Like, I regret marrying you, or I regret having kids, or I regret,
life that you live now,
following you in the military and things of that nature. I can't say anything rose to that level, but unfortunately there are people where things do rise to that level for them. And so we want to talk about five ways to avoid, because midlife crisis causes
turmoil. It changes your life. I mean, it takes over your mindset. It's all that you want to think about.
And it causes divorce.
Yes, it can. It can cause divorce.
Yeah,
it gets to that magnitude.
I know of people, who I have witnessed it firsthand. Family members had a midlife crisis, went out and bought sports cars, started having affairs. Hanging out, having affairs with younger women. Ended up in divorce. So we want to try to help people deal with it because, I mean, let's be honest, sometimes people do look back over their lives when they get a certain age and, they may look at opportunities that they had that they went a different route. They went a different way. Like when I was in high school, I graduated from high school. I went to college. I didn't end up graduating, going 4 years and graduating. My life took a different turn. I ended up, going some different directions that didn't turn out to be right. Then I ended up going in the military. And eventually I did come back and get my degree. But that's not always the story for some people. Sometimes I can remember when our family owned a convenience store. And there was a gentleman that used to come in, and I can't remember his name right now. And I wouldn't even say his name, if I knew it. But he was the neighborhood wino. Like, that's all he did. He was just drunk. He was a neighborhood wino. And my uncle shared with me, like, how he was a basketball star in high school. He was a phenom. Like, he was destined, for greatness. And I don't know what happened. My uncle didn't go into details about necessarily what happened, but he, after high school, he didn't go to college and play ball. He didn't make it to the pros, and I'm sure he was that good. He had dreams of making it to the NBA and going pro. And I can't say for 100%, certainty, but probably not achieving those dreams are what spun him into drinking alcohol to numb.
It was a coping mechanism.
To numb the pain of not gaining the success that he had hoped and dreamed about.
Yes. So he turned to alcohol to suppress it.
And so people have regrets. We have regrets in life. I look back and I say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had gone on and gotten my 4-year degree, right out of high school. I had dreams of being a TV, a talk show personality, a news anchor. But here I am. I'm still, in that same vein.
Yeah.
Communications, with a podcast. So, and who knows?
You're doing what you wanted to do.
I still may have my show one day.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Say that again, Sterling.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Come on, say it one more time.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Oh.
And the route that you take to get there.
My, I just
keep moving forward at all times.
I just love it when he does that. I just love it when he does that. So let's talk about five ways to avoid a midlife crisis. Number one, plan to evaluate. So many people that have a midlife crisis say that, they felt like their lives weren't what they wanted them to be, or that they thought they didn't have a purpose. And so, if you have a spouse and you see this in your spouse, communication, you said it earlier, communicating, how are you feeling? What's going on? And then as a spouse, be open and honest and say, I don't feel like I have a purpose
If you're feeling down, let somebody know.
Right.
don't, like I said, we know how to take care of ourselves, but sometimes you do need some help. And just let that, let your significant other know that you're going through, something's happening with you and you don't understand.
Yeah. So instead of letting the feelings and the thoughts creep up on you, you got to stay in tune with your feelings as you age. You know, evaluate your life in the areas of your relationships, your finances, and your spiritual health. So you got to be honest with yourself, be honest with your spouse, or if you know, if you don't want to upset your spouse, you know, a relative, a best friend, somebody.
Have somebody who you can, right, who you can, as you have an outlet or vent to, and just let them know that, hey, man, or hey, just talk to them.
But I highly recommend that you talk to your spouse.
Because, that should be the first priority.
Because if there's a chance for you to live out some of those dreams, to still accomplish some of those things that, you know, you had aspirations in accomplishing, your spouse is going to be the person that, you know, has to support you.
And it may just take all them doing is giving you that boost and saying, hey, go for it.
Absolutely. Number two, you want to take on number two there?
Yes, number two, plan to respond. Once you've evaluated where you are and the important area of your life, plan to respond to what you discover, but keep your overall values in place. Just because you're unhappy about some part of your life doesn't mean you should do something crazy or immoral.
That's right. And that's what happens. People get unhappy with their lives and they respond. They respond by cheating. They respond by emptying the bank account.
They go off the deep end.
They go off the deep end.
Or as they say, off the chain, they get crazy.
Right, right. And so, you know, you've got to evaluate yourself in these areas and how you're going to respond, because you don't want to just, you know, go out there and have a one night stand and
keep it real. Yeah. Keep it real with yourself.
And with your spouse.
Yeah. Keep it real with the entire family, because you know what your mind is trying to tell you to do. Just keep it real.
Yeah. So number three, plan to stay positive. You know, we're going to face disappointments. And so when you face disappointments, you got to do your best to stay positive. You can't undo what's been done. You can just try to adjust your attitude to make the best of the situation. You can also stay positive by making it a point to notice the good things in life. You know, in other words, count your blessings.
Yeah.
Count your blessings. You know, things may not have gone the way that you wanted them to go. You may not have gone the path or direction. But look at the positive.
Hunt the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at where you are, what you do have, what you did accomplish.
Focus,
you know,
on, just stay positive. Stay in that positive vein. And if the negative thought does creep in, don't focus on it.
And you know what I like to tell people, Sterling? Sometimes we have our own plans and thoughts and ideas for our life. And those may not necessarily be God's thoughts and ideas and plans for our life. And if they truly are God's thoughts and plans and ideas for your life, if you miss out on it in one season, another season will come around.
It'll come back.
And you'll get an opportunity to achieve that thing. Like I said, I went to college straight out of high school. And instead of keeping my behind in college, I did some other things. And I learned some life lessons because my dad told me, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, this, you should do this. And I didn't listen, being rebellious. But full circle, in another season of my life, like I said, I got to go to college.
Yes.
All the way up to a master's degree. So it was God's purpose and plan for me to go to college.
And like, once God gets involved, he usually brings it back at a much higher level. He takes you to a ceiling abundantly past what you thought, what you were supposed to achieve back at that earlier age.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on to number four. Do you want to read number four? Because you already said it.
I said this earlier and I was just thinking out the box.
Yeah.
Plan to stay real. That is true. Plan to stay real with yourself. A midlife reevaluation is not going off to find your true self. Keep it real by acknowledging that you do have responsibilities. You can't just toss aside because you're in a state of adjustment.
That's right. So, you know, I've heard stories about husbands or even wives. This is not, I'm not, you know, we are equal opportunity helpers here. So this is not just men, but I've heard about women that have just walked off and left their kids and their spouse. I've heard about men that have had this midlife crisis. We've seen it in the military. People come back from deployments and, you know, they divorce their wives and they marry some young girl that, you know, they were deployed with and they move on. I've seen it, you know. I remember a friend, you know, wife had all these kids and dude just, he just walked off and left them here in the house and just went on his way and lived his life. So, you know, you gotta be real, man. You gotta be true to yourself. You can't just toss.
You can't just drop everything. Like, here's the way. You just can't drop everything because you're no longer young. You got responsibilities that you got to take care of. And you just can't just toss them aside because your life is, as you say, out of kilter, out of whack. You just can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And number five, this is number five. Plan to be a good example. People are watching. You know, your kids are watching, your nieces, your nephews, your family members, coworkers, people that look up to you. People are watching. Be a good example. And especially the people that are closest to you, you know, that they're watching. So you got to make wise choices. You have to seek appropriate guidance instead of doing anything out of character because you set the example for your loved ones. By your example, they can learn how to deal with life when life isn't, you know, what they expected it to be. So counseling, I believe in therapy. I believe in pastoral counseling. I believe the two can be married together to help you get through this midlife crisis, but you have got to, follow these steps. I'm going to read through them one more time. Number one, you want to plan to evaluate, plan to respond, plan to stay positive, plan to stay real, and plan to be a good example. I can tell you of many folks that I know who had a midlife crisis. They walked out, they left their family, you know, they married somebody else. Wow. They left their wife or husband for somebody else and it didn't work out. It didn't turn out how they thought it was going to turn out. And they had a lot of regret. They had a lot of regret. Some of them went back and tried to get their husbands back. Some went, tried to get their wives back, but the damage
is done.
Was done. The damage was done. And they had a lot of regret because of that midlife crisis. The same regret that spun them into the midlife crisis is the same regret that they find themselves in
They live the midlife crisis out and they come back to, hey, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The grass is not greener on the other side. You still got to cut the grass on the other side. You still have to maintain the grass. And so, listen, if you're in a midlife crisis, dear brother, dear sister, get some help. Don't allow the enemy to come in all the years that you have put into your marriage, the life that you have built, because it's nothing but the devil who's reminding you of, you could have done this, you should have done that, look what you could have had, you could be doing this. That's not God.
What do they say, an idle mind?
An idle mind is the devil's playground. Come on, Sterling, say it again.
An idle mind is the playground. It's the devil's playground.
Sterling off the chain tonight, y'all. Sterling dropping them nuggets tonight. He off the chain tonight. I'm loving it. So don't allow the devil to come in and destroy everything that God has given you, the life that you have built. You can get through the midlife crisis. You need to get some counseling, some pastoral counseling. And if you're the husband and your wife is going through it, pray them through. Pray that devil on up out your house. And if you're the woman and it's the man, pray you in warfare. Get with the, you know, some women that you can trust, fast and pray. Pray that devil on up out your house. Don't you just let the enemy come in and take your marriage or take your husband or take your wife.
Your significant other has to encourage you too, because they'll see the change in you.
Yeah.
And you might be in denial, but they can see it and they'll help you. I mean, that's what they're there for. They're your help me.
Yeah. When they pull you to the side and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, you doing this, you tipping out, you staying out late.
You're coming home drunk.
You're
coming home late. You're trying to stay out all night. Yeah. Something's going on.
Yeah, yeah. So you can make it through the midlife crisis. You know, we've weathered storms. We've seen other people that have weathered storms. God said that marriage is an honorable thing. And he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So stay in your marriage, brother. Stay in your marriage, sister. And watch God do what Sterling said earlier, exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. You got the power in you to get through it if you're going through a midlife crisis. That's all I have for tonight, Sterling.
Hey, you summed it up very well.
I think it was a great show.
Midlife crisis is real. But you can avoid it by just practicing those five nuggets that we put out there.
All right. Well, look, after the show, stay tuned for some information on how you can follow us on social media. We'd love to hear from you. Email us. You have that line where you can call in and leave comments. We want to hear from you. If you're interested in having Sterling and I come out and do marriage conferences, if you're listening and you're having those types of things, you can always reach out to us at The Leadership. TheLeadership, as in Paul, not sheet, but sheep. We ain't talking about no sheets. We talking about sheep. TheLeadership@yahoo.com. And as we always like to end the show with our marriage mantra, and it goes a little something like this. The more you put in that marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Until next time, take care.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.